Welcome to the Community Action League. The Community Action League is a weekly show that is a collaborative effort of local organizations and nonprofits. Our goal is to raise awareness of issues that impact people in Gallatin County, like consent, housing, transportation, human rights, and addiction. We will also discuss the organizations that listeners can engage with that are relevant to those topics. On our show, we discuss the intersectionality or connections between these topics at the local, national, and global levels. If you are interested, you can tune in to KGVM 95.9 Bozeman to learn about issues impacting your community every Thursday at 7 p.m. Do you have a topic you would like to hear about or comments about our show? Contact us at communityactionleague@gmail.com to request a topic or share your thoughts. Hi, this is McKeely with Bridger Care. And today I'm here with Thrive, and Thrive is a local Bozeman nonprofit, and their mission is to help all children to have the opportunity to grow, succeed, and become valuable members of our community. So I'm here with Vanessa and Becky from Thrive, and I just kind of wanted to ask you both, what is your main job or job titles at Thrive and kind of what you guys help to do?
My name's Vanessa Skelton, and I get to work with major donors at Thrive, and then I also help with a lot of our marketing.
My name is Becky Hodgson, and I am a CAP coordinator, and I help make matches between community volunteers and students in the Bozeman School District. Prior to that, I was a parent liaison with Thrive, where I worked with parents, helping them with all kinds of things in regards to benefits, parenting questions, that sort of thing.
So Becky and Vanessa, just kind of wondering, when you work for a nonprofit like Thrive that's doing the kind of work that's really, really, really valuable, but I think also kind of undervalued by our own community, what kind of brings you guys into this work and what personally brought you guys into this type of work?
This is Vanessa, and I'm actually from a very small town in Oklahoma who did not have a lot of supports for families and kids. And so there were a lot of people that fell through the cracks, and we were, you know, a high teen pregnancy county and a high drug use and meth and all kinds of horrible social problems, you know. And when I moved to Bozeman, I was able to get a job at Thrive, and just the work that I've seen over the course of the 14 years I've worked there has been incredible. And I do think, you know, sometimes families just need a little help, regardless of your background or your education or your financial situation. It's really difficult to raise children, and it's a hard job. And so Thrive kind of evens the playing field and really gives people the support they need to be successful. You know, I became a parent a couple years ago, and it's truly a hard job. So I got a whole nother perspective on Thrive's work and the importance of supporting parents and kids. So I think that's what keeps me coming. That and maybe that I can't find another job. I don't know. One or two.
This is Becky, and I started working for Thrive about 5 years ago. At that point, my children were grown and had gone through the Bozeman schools. And had a really positive experience. And what really brought me to Thrive was making that connection between home and school. I started out working with parents and really helping them to become more involved with the school, become more involved with what their children were doing in school, as well as helping them to find ways to kind of connect with their children when things were difficult. From there, I moved into the CAP coordinator position, in part because I saw what a tremendous impact having a mentor once a week meeting with a child made in that child's life. The joy that they had when they saw that mentor walk through the door, the moments of breakthrough in those relationships was really inspiring, and I wanted to do everything I could to keep that going.
One more thing on that question about why we work there and what brings us there is, I think one of the things that's kept me there for the 13 years that I've worked at Thrive has been, it's an incredibly positive place to work. We have a very strength-based approach for families and kids, and we try to build on strengths of people. And that's just, for me, such a personal philosophy that resonated with me. And it's not only the way we work with our families and kids, but the way we work together as a team at Thrive, the culture within Thrive, I think is something that is really incredibly unique in a workplace, and just the dynamic staff and how everybody helps each other. And, you know, we utilize strengths really well at that organization. So I think that's another thing that keeps me coming back, is that it's such an incredibly positive place to work within and then work for, because we're making all these incredibly positive changes and, you know, giving people the support they need to succeed. So I think that would be another thing that was important about why I'm involved.
And something I'm hearing from both of you is that kind of what keeps you there and also kind of brought you there was that Thrive has this very tangible result that you can see not only within, you know, the children that are being impacted, but the people who are helping or their families or other people outside of just, you know, the children, you know, who are being positively affected by the kind of programs that you're bringing to them. Does that kind of sound like along the lines of like a big reason why you guys like keep doing this?
Absolutely. We kind of have a joke in the development marketing arena at Thrive that it's almost like a 1 degree of Kevin Bacon in terms of like how many people are impacted by Thrive in this community, because you talk to somebody and they're like, oh, my sister was a cat mentor, or my nephew has a cat mentor, or I went to Love and Logic, you know. I mean, it's amazing how many people have been impacted by the work we've done, and we've been doing it a long time too. You know, Thrive's been in the Valley for over 30 years now. So the stories are now, you know, next generation stories of like, you know, mentors coming back from being a mentee when they were in school, coming back to become a mentor. And, you know, we have a lot of that kind of multi-generational effect happening, which is super cool to see.
I would just add that it is really heartwarming to see somebody come in and apply to be a mentor. And when you ask them why, they talk about the incredible impact that having a mentor in their life made at the age of 10 or 8 years old. They were maybe going through some hard things at that time in their life. And reflecting back as an adult, they can see that that was really impactful for them, and they were so inspired by it that they want to come back and do that for somebody else. And then to witness that on a daily basis is pretty wonderful.
I would also say the scale of the different things that Thrive does. So like, you know, when you talk about seeing the impact, like we just kind of wrapped up the holidays, and so Thrive helps coordinate a lot of giving to families over the holiday season, you know, whether it be snow boots, you know, the little girl coming in and crying about new snow boots, or, you know, getting a couple toys for kids that need them over Christmas. So everything from that basic of a need to, you know, a teen mom that we're asking to come back and kind of share an update of her story, that she was, you know, pregnant at 16, had her first baby, ended up graduating high school, ended up going to MSU and getting her degree, then has gone now back to the reservation she grew up in and is teaching, you know, and is married to her baby's father, and now they have a family and a second baby. And it's just beautiful to see some of these stories, kind of the long-term impact of what's happened, because she had that support at 16 that she needed to make sure that she could succeed and set goals and reach them. And so it is, the impact is truly amazing, whether it be something as small, some people might think, as winter boots, which can make such an impact, to just a complete change in trajectory of someone's life, you know, and not only their life, but their daughter's life, and they're going to be their daughter's life. And, you know, it really is incredible to see kind of that multi-generational impact and the positiveness just continue on, you know, hopefully forever.
And a really big part of what you guys are talking about is multi-generational. And that's amazing to me, to think that the impacts that you guys have, you know, whether it's, you know, one class that people come in for, or snow boots that are being donated to them, or even just a semester of someone coming in and mentoring them or something like that, could have an like a butterfly effect throughout the rest of their life and truly change them for the better and, you know, really kind of create this, you know, sense of, you know, positivity in their light that they are supported in their own community. And I think that's I didn't know that. I'm kind of amazed, like watching you guys both talk about these kind of things is amazing. And you also kind of talked about all the programs that you had, and I was just kind of wondering if you could expand on all of those and just kind of give us an overview of kind of everything that Thrive does.
So as I mentioned, our approach is very positive and strength-based in the work that we do and the work how we work with each other within Thrive. And it's about meeting families and kids where they're at. You know, it's not going in and telling them everything they're doing wrong or anything like that. It's really about building on people's strengths because Thrive believes that everyone has inherent strengths. So it's just helping people sometimes find them or build on them or, you know, just giving them a little bit of a leg up. So that's really important to understand about our approach and what we do. The design of the programs is very intentional and has been in the works for, like I said, over 30 years. We have programs that are designed to focus on children, youth, and then programs that are more geared towards parents. One thing that I think is really unique about our design is that even though we do have youth programs and parent programs, they're really meant to work together, so they're interconnected. And that's something that's really important. And how we work is that we believe when you support a child, it's really also important to support the parents of that child, because it's great if they're supported at school and they have that extra support they might need to succeed in school, but they're also going home to a home every night. So making sure the parents are on the same page of what the child does need at home to be able to succeed at school, whether that's helping them get to school more often, attendance is oftentimes a lot of the things we work on, academic performance, you know, helping them connect to the school like Becky was talking about, get the parents really engaged in that process. So that's something that's kind of unique in how our programs are designed. And they work really well together and they're meant to. So that breakdown that I talked about is made up of two different youth programs, one of which is the Child Advancement Project, and that's the CAP mentoring program. Then we have Girls for a Change, which is a girls empowerment program, which includes Girls on the Run as well. And then for the parent side of that, we have the Parent Place, the Parent Liaison Program, and the Partnership Project. So maybe we can expand on those a little bit in terms of what each of those does. Becky, you want to start us off?
Sure. Well, let me just start with the Parent Liaison Program. That is a program where we have a parent liaison placed in every single school in the Bozeman School District. That parent liaison reaches out to families to welcome them to the school as new kindergarten parents or new families to the school. They also teach Love and Logic parenting classes, which are a really phenomenal way for parents to connect with each other, but also to get information and ideas for connecting with their child, maybe approaching things a little bit differently than the way that they were raised. One of my favorite things in that class is watching parents have these kind of aha moments where all of a sudden they kind of see their child's behavior through different eyes. And instead of it being something that is stressful or difficult or causes conflict between them, it can turn into a relationship building moment, a way for them to connect. It can turn into something fun, you know, where they're laughing instead of crying. The parent liaison also will work with parents one-on-one. They have questions about child development or specific things that are going on in their home. Whether they're looking for resources in the community, the parent liaison can also be an excellent resource for that. A lot of parents will come looking for camps or activities during break time or summer vacation, especially if parents are working full time. That can be kind of a stressful thing for parents. And parent liaison can often help navigate some of that with them. In addition, if their families are feeling like they're maybe not understanding why things are happening the way they are in school, or maybe there's a little bit of a communication breakdown, parent liaison can do exactly what their name is, which is a liaison, and kind of help help the parent maybe find the right questions to ask, or figure out who they need to talk to at the school to get the answers that they need. Also, we have our CAP, which is Child Advancement Program, and that program is also a school-based program. So we have CAP mentors in all of the Bozeman schools, between 50 and 100, depending on the size of the school. And those are, we rely heavily on volunteers in the community. Everybody from people working in business to people working in nonprofits, students at Montana State, everybody gets involved and comes to the school 1 hour a week to meet one-on-one with one specific student. They have an opportunity to build a really incredible relationship with this child, and they look forward every week to that person coming meeting with them. CAP mentors will work with their students on everything from helping with academics to navigating some social situations. Maybe they just meet and kind of offer support because things are difficult at home. We often have mentors who will meet with a student who is excelling quite a bit in school and really looks forward to working on a special project or researching something that they themselves have an interest in. A year ago, I had a student who was really creative and really needed a creative outlet every day. And we had a mentor who came in, and together they worked on just whatever their little hearts desired that day. And the teacher told me that she could really tell a difference on the day that the mentor was there, that child was better able to focus. It was like they just needed that one little break to really go after what it was that their heart desired. And then they were able to attend to the other things that they needed to do in class. We have mentors who come in and work with students who are really interested in writing and love the creative writing process and maybe don't aren't able to explore that as much as they would like to during their school day. Some kids who are really struggling with math, and having somebody come in and be able to sit down in a calm environment and work one-on-one and kind of work through the problems, find new ways to address it, and then play some math games just to keep it fun and light. It also really helps as they build relationship together that there's a comfort level with that person that makes it easier for them to talk about whatever is coming up in their life that's difficult mm-hmm. and challenging.
And don't we have a fair amount of kind of role model situations? I remember reading about a little boy that kind of suddenly lost his father, you know, and he was really needing a male role model in his life. And so they were able to utilize CAP and find a young male to kind of be his male role model. So there's all sorts of, you know, incredible ways that this program can support kids, and for so many different reasons.
Yeah, that we definitely have that situation going on more than one occasion. And a lot of those mentor relationships are long-term. Some only go a year, depending on the mentor and the mentee, but most of them will go several years, and we have had quite a few matches that have started early on in kindergarten or first grade and carried through until high school graduation. And those are relationships that just can't be duplicated. One of the things that happens, and I like to call it the second year phenomenon, is a mentor will start with a student the first year and really start building a good rapport, and they do some fun things. But when that mentor walks through the door the first day of their second year, there is something that happens with that child. Usually the reports I get are all of a sudden they are talking 10 times more. They are sharing 10 times more. And I like to think that those children are just seeing that this person is actually invested in them, and they're the real deal. And they're coming back because they care, and they find value in this child. And so I think that when we have those longer term relationships, the children really benefit, but if you talk to the mentors, they'll often say they're the ones getting the most out of the relationship.
So Girls for a Change is the other youth program we offer at Thrive. And it's really about empowering girls to know their strengths and how they can build on those to achieve their goals. So we put on an annual summit for over 200 girls from across Montana that come from, you know, I think our highest year we had over 40 Montana communities with all Native American reservations represented. So that's been an awesome thing to see kind of snowball into this real rural girls conference. And they come and we have over 40 community presented workshops on topics ranging from Bollywood dancing to healthy relationships or how to manage your finances or, you know, how to survive in the wilderness, all the kinds of things that girls are interested in kind of at that age. And that's for all girls grades 8 through 12. And that generally happens in February, which is coming up. So we're gearing up for that. And then we have incredible keynote speakers, and it's just a really powerful day. And going and watching the girls is kind of really inspiring to see how energetic and full of passion they all are for what they're learning about. And, you know, so many of the girls are exposed to topics that they've never really thought about or heard about because they're coming from, you know, very rural areas of Montana. So it's really cool to see kind of their eyes open up at what the opportunities are in the world for them. So that's a really fun thing that we get to do with Girls for a Change, and that happens up at MSU. And then as part of our Girls for a Change programming back in, I think, 2012, we added Girls on the Run, which is an international program, actually. And that's a school-based after-school curriculum. And that's, again, really about helping girls identify their strengths, and they go through kind of a curriculum-based program that starts with them really learning about themselves and what their strengths are and what they value. And then they kind of move into the section about, okay, so now that we know that about ourselves, how do we take that and have healthy relationships with other girls? And how do we support other girls? And how do we, you know, really foster that friendship with other girls? And what does that look like in a healthy relationship? Because the mean girl thing kind of starts like third grade now, which is crazy, as well as, you know, the body image issues and all of those things. We're seeing those happening now at age 9, which, if you can believe it, it's kind of shocking, but they do, and they have those perceptions about their body because they're seeing everything in the media that's telling them what they should or shouldn't be. So we're trying to help girls be able to define that for themselves within this program. So they go through the me part and then each other, and then they move into community, and that's kind of the final section. And they really talk about, okay, now that we know about ourselves and about each other, now how it's our responsibility to kind of give back to the community and what's happening in our community and how can we do that. And they pick a community service project that they organize as a team for the Girls on the Run team and do that together. And then at the end of the program, they actually, throughout the program, prepare to run a 5K together. And so they run a 5K at the end of the program. And in the fall, they do Huffing for Stuffing as kind of a community event together. And then in the spring, I can't even remember what we're doing in the spring these days. I feel like we might be working with Haven, or we ran their race, I think, for several years, and I think we're still doing that. So they get to be part of these really big community races as teams of girls running a 5K, which I can't run a 5K at 36, and they're 9, so that's pretty awesome in itself.
I ran Huffing for Stuffing this year with a bunch of the Girls on the Run kids, and they were so excited.
Did they pass you?
Yeah. Of course they did. That's but they had way better hair.
They had been training, yeah. Yeah, and they have, I forget what they call it, fun hair or something. They spray paint their hair, and, you know.
Yeah, they're really pumped up. And they all have running buddies when they do it.
Yeah, so, it's very cool. That's kind of another volunteer-based program, too, at Thrive. I didn't really talk about the volunteers, but they help coach, and they sub, and they are running buddies, and volunteers are really at the heart of a lot of what Thrive does. So, special shout-out to you. Thanks. So that is Girls for a Change, and then we also have two other parent programs. So there's the Parent Place, which is really just a resource center for any and all parents, and that's geared towards more of kind of the 0 to 5 age range. So they do a lot of different things through the Parent Place. We have a lot of sub-programs to that program, including like Gym Day, which is an open gym where you can bring your toddler that can't go out in the snow when it's negative 25 degrees and they can run crazy, and we bring all the toys and you just show up and it's free and easy for parents. And then we have Dynamite Dads, which is every month, again, a free activity for male caregivers and their children. And it's an organized activity that, again, we put on, and dads just show up with their kids and get to, you know, have a little bonding special time with them. Mom gets a night off. It's kind of brilliant in terms of design. And we have, you know, over 100 dads and kids join us almost every month for those events. Some of the bigger ones, I think, were like 200. And again, another really cool collaborative effort with the community, because we go to Museum of the Rockies and we go, you know, we get to partner with a lot of our nonprofits in town to make sure that program can happen each month. So
it's also a really nice way for dads to connect with each other. I think a lot of times moms are sometimes really good at that networking piece, but dads often don't sit down and talk about frustrations or what's going on with their kids. And it's a really nice way for dads to be engaged with their children and doing, you know, a fun activity. Usually we feed them something, pizza.
Awesome pizza.
Awesome pizza. And
the nonprofit food of choice.
And then they, you know, a lot of times just end up visiting with each other. And so it's a great thing to see. And a lot of dads come every month. Mm-hmm. It's a regular thing. Some of whom have been coming for many years and their kids won't let them stop.
Right. It's addictive is what we're saying. in the best way possible. And then what else the Parent Place does, there's a lot of parent education. So we do a lot of love and logic classes related to early childhood. And, you know, I'm trying to think of other things the Parent Place has going on. One-on-one support. Any parent can call the Parent Place, you know, and say, look, I've got a two-year-old that will not stop doing something, whatever they do, which I should know. But, yeah, won't sleep, you know, for example. And we have a parent educator that can help find resources. And because as a parent, I know, like, online you get riddled. There's so much, there's almost too much information out there, and it's hard to kind of sort what is good and what is bad and what is fits with your approach, you know? So we actually have a person that you can come in and talk to or call and ask for advice or any sort of resources.
This last year they did a really big workshop on raising boys. That was well attended, and we collaborated with the
Bozeman Health, I believe, helped us put that on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're always trying to figure out what topics parents are interested in learning more about and with what age groups. So we do a lot of kind of specific stuff like that. That was raising resilient boys, and I think it was like tween boys, like that age group, or was it? I can't quite remember the age group of that. But those, we're doing these thriving institutes where we take a topic that parents are interested in learning more about and kind of hold like a seminar or workshop around it. So if anyone wants more information about those, that's what those are generally called online, as thriving institutes, and they're generally focused on a specific topic related to parenting. So we're trying to do more of those this year, I believe, as well. Parent Place is really just a resource for any parents. And then the last program at Thrive is the Partnership Project. And that is a home visiting program for younger parents of younger children, so generally 0 to 5. And I think the average age of partnership families, I think, is 19. Somewhere around there. They range anywhere from 16 to, I think, 22 is essentially the range. So a lot of time it's teen parents, single teen parents, who just need some support for helping them get some basic needs met, generally, so they can provide a strong foundation in which to bring their baby into the world. And then once we kind of help them get those basic needs met, which could be stable housing, it could be a job security, it could be food security, it could be, finishing their education, transportation issues. I mean, it's generally a wide variety of those different things that they're struggling with. So we help get those needs met so then they can actually focus on being a parent and think about child development and what their baby needs from them as a parent. So it's great because, you know, once you remove those barriers and those challenges, they actually have the mental space to be the parent that they want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's an incredibly transformational program. We see, like I told the story about the teen mom earlier, was the first in her family to go to college, so now she has a college education, and it really is incredible to see the changes that happen with families in that program, with just a little bit of support, you know. And again, I would love to also hit on the fact that, you know, these programs are only made possible because of the people that come out and volunteer as mentors or coaches with Girls on the Run, and within partnership. These young moms, these young dads are making the choice that they want to do something different for their kids than maybe what they had in some cases. So it's really, it's easy for Thrive to kind of become the hero in this scene, but it's truly not. It's the volunteers, it's the families making the choices, it's the teachers, it's the principals, it's the school community that supports these programs. It's, you know, we do have an incredible staff, talented staff that works really hard. Our board of directors, you know, it's all of that coming together in a really powerful way for the community. So thanks to everybody out there that has helped, you know, get us to where we are and continues to help moving forward, because it's truly a community effort from so many different angles, which I think, again, is to bring us full circle, what keeps me at Thrive.
Yeah. Every day showing up and being around people who are coming on their own volition to give their time when I know they are really busy. You know, students who are working and going to school, and they'll carve out the hour to come see their kid every week. And that, it's really inspiring.
So Vanessa and Becky, I'm just kind of wondering, moving forward into 2019, what Thrive's mission and new goals kind of are, you know, coming up into this new year?
Yeah, we have some exciting stuff for 2019. In 2018, we were able to offer more Girls on the Run sites than ever before to rural communities, which was super exciting. We had Gallatin Gateway, Amsterdam, and Livingston all as sites for Girls on the Run, which was very exciting. And we've actually been asked for several years now about boys programming and when we were going to actually get into that sphere. And we're excited to announce that we're gonna be piloting a new boys program called Let Me Run at Meadowlark in the spring of this year. So that's something that's very exciting. It's actually similar to Girls on the Run. It's a boys leadership program that incorporates running as well with the same age group of elementary school boys. So we'll be excited to see kind of the results of that and hopefully being able to carry that forward into the future as well. I also mentioned we're going to be doing some more of the Thriving Institutes this year with new topics. So that will be something that's kind of new for this year. Those are kind of our big things.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, kind of, a lot of people that I've, you know, heard from, you know, about programs like Thrive kind of all around the country is that, you know, they're not sure if they work or how founded they are on kind of the approaches that they take towards these kind of programs. And I was wondering if you guys had any data on kind of how effective your approach has been to the people in this valley.
Absolutely. We at Thrive take evaluation really, really seriously and have a culture of intensive evaluation, I would say, kind of agency-wide. We feel certainly responsible to make sure what we're doing works for kids and families. So we're very dedicated to evaluation, I would say, in our organization. And several years ago, actually, when the National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs and Practices was in existence, CAP was one of the few mentoring programs in the nation listed there. So we were super, super happy with that designation, and it took a lot of work of a lot of independent evaluation of our data from over 20 years to see those results. And what that study showed is that, you know, kids are not only doing better in school, but they're more connected to school, and they feel more a part of the school community because of CAP. They come to school more often. I mean, there was incredible results from kind of that study, and then we continue to do annual evaluations every year. And we ask not only children what they think about it, but parents and teachers. We make sure we're pretty rounded in terms of the evaluations that we gather as well. We were also part of a pertinent research program for the Partnership Project about the effectiveness of our home visiting model, which was incredible. We were published in a nationwide journal for that study as well. For CAP, we're certainly showing some incredible results. Like I talked about, 86% of kids are exceeding the district benchmark for reading growth, which is, you know, incredible. So I think another thing we're seeing at Thrive is that the need is growing in our community. And like I said, our programs are really, really for any and all parents. The Partnership Project is the one that was kind of focused on younger parents of younger children. But our programming is really for any and all parents. But we are seeing more and more people access our programming. We're growing about 5% each year, which is on pace with the growth of Bozeman. And I think one indicator, we saw a 40% increase from 2017 last year in the Partnership Project. So that's the younger parents of younger children who do have you know, struggles with socioeconomic issues. So I think we're seeing that gap grow in Bozeman, which is I think resulting in a higher need.
I think last year, Vanessa, if I'm right, we served about 7,000 different individuals.
Yep, I think it was just over. So more and more people are moving to this community, and I think a lot of what we're seeing in the growth of Bozeman is that it's a lot of young families that are moving here. So I think Thrive knows that we want to continue doing what we're doing and try to expand in the ways that makes sense for our community. I think we all live here because it's an incredible place to be, and it's safe, and it's beautiful, and you know, although we all might have moved here for different reasons, I think we all stay here because it's so community-minded and people care about people. And so Thrive feels very fortunate that people care about people here, because that's what I think has made our programs so successful over 30 years, is that we have a very caring and generous community. And like I said, this is really a community-wide effort. We couldn't do the work that we do at Thrive without all the people that help every year. You know, there's over 700 volunteers that donate thousands of hours every year to make our programming possible. And because they do that, it's a valued investment of about $250,000 every year back into the community, just in the volunteer time that people give through Thrive. We work with over 100 community partners to make sure that we can do these programs. Over 80 businesses support our work, 30 foundations. There's 55 on our staff and board. So this really is a community-wide effort in terms of our programs and the impact we're having on kids and families here. So thanks to everybody out there that helps make this possible year over year for, you know, 3 decades now.
Thrive has a lot of upcoming events. This month we are having a CAP trivia night at Starkey's, where Starkey's generously donates hors d'oeuvres, and people in the community make teams to come in and compete in a trivia style, very fun competition. That will take place on the 28th of January.
And I think we're still looking for about 100 or over 100 mentors for this school year. Is that right?
Yep, we need about 100, 125 mentors yet this school year. We have our Girls for Change conference coming up in February on the 23rd at MSU. Vanessa talked a lot about that. We have some excellent presenters in all sorts of areas. And just throw in a personal story. My daughter was a Girls for a Change core member back in the day and felt like that was probably one of the more instrumental and influential things that she did during high school, not barring her education, but really helped her build confidence, prepare for interviews for college and scholarship, and really laid a pretty strong foundation for her. We have several Parenting with Love and Logic classes coming up throughout the community. All this information can be found on Thrive's website. In April, we will have our Lily Ball. And in June, on the 28th of June, we will have our golf tournament.
And Michaela, aren't you a CAP mentor right now?
Yes, so this semester will be 1.5 years of me being a CAP mentor at Bozeman High School. And it has been a pretty great thing in my life. And as you guys mentioned, it's not, I enjoy seeing her probably more each and every single week than, you know, she enjoys seeing me. But I think, you know, I hear from the coordinator at Bozeman High that every time after I leave, like, she just has a smile on her face for the rest of her day, and that she every single week, you know, knows that I'm coming on my day, knows that I'm coming for her, that I'm a person and, you know, that she can be safe with, but also that we carve out a time where if, you know, she wants to do something, you know, whether it's just wander around the high school and just walk around and talk to me, or, you know, sit down and do a puzzle together or craft or, you know, do whatever, that she can do that for that, you know, hour, and that, you know, talk to me about whatever she's going through. So it's been a really special and kind of instrumental thing that I've been doing. And I'm really lucky that you guys offer it here in the community. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Also, just want to thank both of you for being here with me today. And thank you guys for all the work you guys do.
Thank you guys for having us, and I'm so pumped to hear about this radio show and the station, and yeah, we're big supporters of you guys already, so thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate the opportunity to come in and share what we do with the community.